But to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, unto him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 17th chapter of the book of Exodus, verses 8 to 13. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. Whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat upon it, and Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua mowed down Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. In the name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior and the Lord of the church, dearly beloved, and especially you, new professors, to be welcomed to our faculty this evening. Probably quite a few different kinds of thoughts floating through this assembly this evening as we begin another academic year. Those of you just beginning who have finished your orientation during the past 3 days wonder how it's all going to shake out. Finances, family responsibility, housing, study, classes, professors. Those of you with a year under your belt perhaps feel pretty comfortable and are looking forward with excitement at the prospect in a few months of receiving your vicarage assignment. And those of you returning from vicarage are anxious to get on with it and hope that this year will go by in a hurry so that you can once more be out, as they say, where the action is. Whatever other thoughts we have, all of us, professors and faculty and students alike, are humbled in reverence and in awe at the privilege that God gives us to work, to worship, and to study together in this place. It will not be easy. These 72 wooded acres and beautiful halls of learning do not insulate us against the fury of the devil, who does not like it that there is a place called 801 Demun, against the world, which is much more interested in what it will eat and drink and how it will be clothed than in the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and against the promptings of the flesh, which lust against the spirit, so that we often cannot do the things that we would. It was not easy for Moses. Just a few moments before our text, the people were ready to stone him when they were without water to drink. And when their thirst was satisfied, Amalek comes to Rephidim to fight against Israel. Let us join Moses this evening as he gives Joshua the battle plans and then says, "Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill." Pray that the Spirit of God will bless us through these words as we begin this new year. Let's look first of all at the activity itself. Verse 8 says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel at Rephidim." Amalek, you know, was not one of God's favorites. When he gave his people their final directions before entering the promised land in the book of Deuteronomy, he told them that they should remember what Amalek had done to them, how they had attacked them when they left Egypt, when they were weak and faint, and how they had cut off those who lagged behind. "Thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, and thou shalt not forget," God said. And God did not forget, and told Saul through Samuel that he should destroy, utterly destroy Amalek and all that pertained to them. And so the battle is joined, and Moses goes to the top of the hill. And he was, of course, more than a spectator to all the mayhem going on below him. "I will go stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. In fact, because both hands were held, he held both hands up. And Moses' posture indicates two things. The first is his complete dependence upon God, that one who had brought them out of Egypt, delivered them from the pursuing Egyptians, and sustained them in the wilderness. It was his strong arm, stretched out hand, that had brought the victory and would bring them the victory here. And the rod, of course, was the symbol of God's power by which he had given them those victories. It was that rod that the Lord had used to persuade Moses that he should accept his assignment as the leader of God's people. It was that rod that Moses had raised up to bring thunder and hail and locusts on the land of Egypt. With that rod lifted up, the waters of the sea had parted, and a little later came back to provide a watery grave for the hosts of Pharaoh. Then in what some believe was Moses' greatest miracle, that rod struck the rock at Horeb so that they had water gushing out to drink. It is in this same spirit that we begin this new school year. We stretch out our hands toward God in complete dependence upon him. For it is not our learning that will win the day. It is not our experience as churchmen that will do it, or our learning or teaching skills. With Jehoshaphat at the invasion of Moab, we say we have no might against this force coming against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. We remember the words of Jesus, without me you can do nothing. And we confess with St. Paul, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And our hands also are not empty, for they hold the rod of Yahweh, his holy word, which performs miracles greater than those of Sinai. For it is that rod that has brought us living waters from the spiritual rock, which is Jesus Christ. It is that word that has searched us and found us wanting. It is that word that has brought us to our knees to see our wretchedness before a holy God. Yea, more, it has lifted us up to behold in faith that one raised on the pole of the cross for our healing, for with his stripes we are healed. Yes, it is this rod, the word of God, that more than 10,000 graduates of this place have taken out into the church and into the world, and by means of which have directed people to the grace of God to sinners in the face of Jesus Christ. This word, which we have in Holy Scriptures, is our great heritage and will be ours forever. We cannot emphasize too much the importance of beginning this year with the Word of God in our hand. To say that is to be reminded of the great speech delivered at the 1848 convention of our beloved synod by its first president and the first president of this seminary. Dr. Walther spoke on the topic, "Why should and can we carry on our work joyfully, although we have no power but the power of the Word?" Toward the close of that address, he pleaded with the delegates that purity of doctrine might be in vogue at all times, never be adulterated, that it might always be considered as a most precious treasure. And he closed that address with these words, "By the Word alone, without any other power, the church was founded. By the Word alone, all the great deeds recorded in church history were accomplished. By the Word alone, the church will most assuredly stand also in these days of sore distress to the end of days. Even the gates of hell will not prevail against it. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. Grass withereth, flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. But hands get heavy and need to be held up. Moses did, of course. He watched the boxing on the Olympics. You know how often the fighters were reminded to keep their gloves up. And many of them got too tired to do that, even in a 9-minute fight. Well, this battle lasted more than 9 minutes. We're not told when it began, but it went on to the setting of the sun. Whenever Moses held up his arms, Israel prevailed. Whenever he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. So Aaron and Hur, who had been were to be put in charge when he went up into the mountain, Aaron, that one whose rod had brought the gnats and the frogs and had changed the waters of Egypt into blood, Hur, ancient tradition says, was the husband of Miriam, came to the rescue. And verse 12 says, Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat upon it. And Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Heavy hands. Who has not had them? Moses had heavy hands many times. Sometimes it was his own fault, as Jethro reminded him when he chided him for the fact that he was trying to listen to every last complaint of every child of Israel. Sometimes they were caused by the frustration of his ministry and the sin of the people. So great at times that once Moses was ready to ask the Lord to take his name out of the book of heaven. We have heavy hands too. At times because of our sin, by which we need to be bolstered up once more by that precious gospel of our Savior and Redeemer. And sometimes by the frustrations of ministry. For as the word is preached today, it is just as the seed that was once sown and lands not only on good soil, but also on hard paths and on earth that has little depth and among thorns and thistles. Devil, world, and flesh never tire of their attack against the task of theological education. And when hands become weary and spirits flag and the flesh rebels, then what ought to be advances in the cause of Christ and the proclamation of the gospel are instead retreats. And the text calls upon us, therefore, to hold up one another's hands. Thank God that we work in a community where that help is not only available, but where it is given. And I should add that I have seen those helping hands and indeed felt them at our faculty retreat just during this past week. Those helping hands which we pledge to you, new members of the faculty, particularly tonight. George Keller, in a recent book on academic strategy, reminds us that it's not that way at every institution of higher learning. He talks about the erosion of institutional cooperation, what he calls the supercilious mindset of many faculty on most university campuses, he says, where a man may feel closer loyalty and affection to colleagues 3,000 miles away in his own discipline than he does to a man three doors down the hall. Pray God it will never be so here. We have hands to hold up weary hands. We do it with our prayers for one another. If students will do it, we'll have better professors. If professors do it, we'll have better students. If students and professors do it, we'll have better deans and better department chairmen and, of course, a better president. We hold up one another's hands also by encouragement and strengthening, and because we care enough, sometimes even by reprimand and exhortation. All so that hands will be steady till the setting of the sun, the devil repulsed and the world forsaken and the flesh beaten down. Then comes the victory. Israel mowed them down. That's what it says. Joshua mowed down Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. The Lord was so excited, he told Moses to keep it as a memorial, to put it in a book, to recite it in the ears of Joshua. And verse 15 says, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it, "The Lord is my banner," saying, "A hand upon the banner of the Lord." That wasn't the last victory. The Amorites fell and the Midianites fell. When Joshua led his people, he led them into the conquest of that land until finally they reached its full inheritance, a type, model of the rest that belongs to the people of God. And even today, those victories continue. You will go out, you students, with this banner of the Lord, his holy word, and gain great victories. Sinners led to see their lost condition turning to the Savior, so that you'll have so many opportunities to build altars of thanksgiving to the Lord. Men, women, and children worshiping under the cross and enlisting under the captain of their salvation. And then finally, we, together with those whom we lead, will come to that full inheritance also, where there will be no more weary hands and arms, and where the sound of strife will cease. So whatever feelings we have tonight, let us enter this year with confidence in that God who has not left us without hope. Stretch out your arms in dependence upon God. Hold up the heavy hands around you. And let us expect his blessing in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.